It's December. Nope. What day is it?
It's
whoa.
Someone
March.
Is projecting onto a time. The year 2019, when we didn't have to deal with shit like coronavirus. So,
coronavirus did nothing to our stream.
Oh, yeah. We're pretty much unaffected at this point. Hopefully for a while longer. It's March 15th, 2020. This is Fancy Ramen episode 154. The title pending. I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
And I'm Scott.
Today, we face the dangers. We brave the dangers of a post-apocalyptic world ridden by a lack of toilet paper. It's gone. There is no toilet paper left.
It's true that people panicked and ruined everything.
I like to think that you, Scott, have just lined your entire door with toilet paper, and you've been doing it for years, and that's why it's so white.
So
the door to the outside.
In case there is someone listening that's not in America, I want to preface that the reason why we're joking about toilet paper is because in America, during this coronavirus scare or the COVID-19 scare, the hot commodity is not canned
hand
goods or canned foods. I mean, it's kind of hand sanitizer. It's not food. It's not rice. It is toilet paper.
Which is super odd considering when we went to the store the other day, we saw all like the Dayquils, NyQuils. There's like lots of medicines around for colds and things.
Mm-hmm.
Just no toilet paper.
It's true. I saw every other item on the shelves except for toilet paper. I don't think I talked about it on the podcast last time because it happened this week, but I went out to get toilet paper because we were out. We were down to one roll and I had to go to three different stores to find a single package of toilet paper. And the only reason I got toilet paper is because they happened to be rolling out a pallet of toilet paper as I was walking away. And so the horde descended upon it like piranhas to a carcass. And I just needed one, so I just grabbed one and walked away. But there were people already like filling their arms off of the pallet as soon as it dropped down.
It sucks because if you're one of those people that need toilet paper and you look and the toilet paper is almost gone, like some part of you is just like, well, I don't really want to hoard toilet paper, but if I can't get toilet paper in 2 weeks from now, when I need toilet paper again, I'm going to have to buy more toilet paper now. So it's like
the hoarding panic absolutely is like a positive feedback loop.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Panic begets panic for a lot of people.
But for those of you out there that are affected by this, which at this point is basically everybody, stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ignore illness. If you think you just have a cough, you know, treat yourself well. Treat yourself well. Go through all the precautionary measures. I don't know if we necessarily want to talk about this a whole lot, but, you know, just be safe out there, guys.
There's some stuff to talk about with how it's impacted the gaming world, but
welcome to 2020, the year of cancellations.
Yeah.
Pushbacks and cancellations, because we pushed back to all the game releases before 2020 even started. And now we're just canceling all the events.
Yep. And also in other media, I mean, a bunch of movies are being delayed for their release too, because nobody's going to the movie theaters right now. Reasonably so.
I found it funny because one person, I forgot who said it, like some news anchor basically said that the Super Bowl was the finale of sports. And they've kind of canceled all the sports.
Hey, it was a pretty solid finale, at least.
Was it?
I missed it.
Who won?
The Kansas City Chiefs won.
Oh, right.
But
it
was a tense game. Like, there was actually competition in this one, which was fun to see.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So, besides everyone being healthy.
Well,
ish. What's up? Well, besides all of us three being healthy, ish.
Well,
who's sick? Are you sick?
Sierra's been sick for more than a week. And since I share a 500 square foot box with her, I've been like
on the verge of being sick.
Experiencing
for more than a week.
Like mild to moderate symptoms for the past couple of days.
So, are you self quarantining?
Yeah, we are, and social distancing.
Are you sure you can't pass the virus through the podcast? Through the,
yeah, I'm sorry, guys, but this was the virus's strategy right here, was to get into like the entire expanse of the Fancy Ramen listening base, and from there spread to at least three more people.
Perfect.
Yeah, no, we're getting by fine, but it's pretty much been like movie marathons and lots of tea while we just kind of like ride it out. And yes, because there's no toilet paper in the world, but there is plenty of supplies of medicine. You know, I've been on a Dayquil, NyQuil regimen that's helped with any sort of like upper respiratory challenges. So,
well, that's good. That's mm-hmm. good.
Sierra's going to die, on the other hand. I don't know. She has not recovered at all. She's just gotten progressively worse and then plateaued there.
But so she's been sick even before like the coronavirus has gotten to your area, assuming
no, I would say she's been sick right around the optimal time. But once again, there's absolutely no way we can figure out if it is coronavirus or not, right? Because of the botched rollout of testing and that availability. Right. We also live in a state that is extremely like sparsely populated and very poor when it comes to like administrative resources, so there's not exactly a testing option available to us right now anyway.
Are you telling me that our government has not been doing a great job with their response or call to action on the coronavirus?
I'm saying that our government has fucked this up so obviously that I've been facepalming for more than a month straight with having limited public health knowledge, just coming from my like college background.
Are you telling me that maybe we shouldn't have been vilifying people wearing face masks for the last three decades? Are you telling me that maybe we as a culture, as the American society, are just fucking stupid about illness and preventative care? Are you telling me that shaking this microphone stand back and forth like a rock star is not really fulfilling the purpose of its intended
I don't know. It's effect. A lot of fun. No, I think it's working. I get what you're saying.
I'm enjoying it. There's a VOD that no one's going to watch later that people will be able to enjoy it later. Maybe I'll clip it. Maybe I'll just clip this entire section.
Yeah.
That's what I need. Yeah. I would believe Alex Jones had he taken his broadcast arm and like pulled back swung on it violently and swung it back forward enough times. I would have been like, this dude's fucking for real. And he's not just getting a fucking DUI in Alabama or some state at this point. I don't even know. You heard it here first, by the way.
Yeah. We're obviously the primary source for your InfoWars dirt here on the Fancy Ramen podcast. But yeah, anyway, skimming past the fact that Sierra and I are, you know, sick from some unknown viral source, we're doing our due diligence and hanging out, which has been good for media consumption, at least, because we can't really leave the apartment except for the bare necessities when we need to.
Simple bare necessities.
Yeah, exactly. We've forgotten about our worries and our strife. But we've been, I mean, we've been watching all of the Alien movies, which I think, wow, they take a really, really quick slide into mediocrity. We watched yesterday Alien by, Ridley Scott, and then the two James Cameron films following, Aliens and Alien 3. They get bad fast. They get bad really fast. Alien, I think, is like a phenomenally good movie. I love it.
The tone of the movies change from Alien and Aliens so much.
No, you can tell that it's... I thought for sure, as soon as I saw David Cameron, I thought, well, this is early in his career. Maybe it's not that bullshit we all know and love him for. But it is. It's like immediately a heavy militarization of everything that's happening in the plot. And although like I found some of the characters interesting, just the whole like the transition from like spooky, suspenseful, environmental horror that is the Alien to just like, we gotta fight off the aliens. We gotta dive back into their nest and rescue someone. Like, I just, the like transition from the survival theme of the original movie to the like broad heroics that people are committing in Aliens is already a little weird. But by the time you get to Alien 3, it's fucking wild because there's almost no reason to care about it whatsoever. And yet they decide to make sure that their most mundane plot points are the ones that they spend the most time filming. Anyway, I'm very excited to watch Prometheus and Alien Covenant next while we burn through our HBO subscription trial that we have. And yes, I did skip Alien 4 Resurrection because I saw a scene of it once playing on someone's TV when I was over at their house, and it was Ripley showing off her like killer basketball skills now that she's a clone. And I thought, I think I can pass on this one. I don't know if it's going to do anything that I find interesting.
So why did you decide to go with Aliens rather than, you know, almost anything else?
Shit, man, I don't know, because it popped up on the, like, I think it popped up somewhere on, like, our Amazon recommended watches or something. And so I thought, well, Sierra and I really love the movie Alien, so we'll check out, like, all this other stuff, because the only other movie I'd ever seen was Prometheus. I actually saw that before I saw Alien ever, which was interesting that I actually got to see the prologue first before I ever saw the movie that kind of kicked it off. And I thought that was a fine movie. It was, I saw it in 3D, so it was beautiful. Like, it was a very gorgeous movie when I saw it. But
with glasses?
Yeah, with the glasses. They were like the non blue and red, like,
God, I'd hope so.
Really terrible paper glasses. They were the
Ray-Ban.
They were the, like, plastic Ray-Ban style glasses.
The privileged white person glasses.
Exactly. They were the bougie theater glasses. And I went to a bougie theater to see it, if I remember correctly. That was back at, oh my gosh, why can't I think of it? Not Alan Village the Points Theater. No, it was before the Draft House existed, because this came out in 2012. It was the...
wow.
Exarban?
Oh, man. Why can't I think of it? And this is really bad, but the only... I can only relate it. It's where, like, Von Maur and P.F. Chang's...
AMC?
In Omaha. Yeah, it was the AMC, but I don't remember what that mall was. And the only thing that came to mind for that is that's where we had a shooting, because we live in a terrible, terrible place.
This was actually before the world got as terrible.
Right. But it's also before Alamo Draft House, so it was before the world got better in a very particular vein as well.
One would say that anime came to be, what, in the 60s or 50s? And that's when the world really went wrong.
Yeah. Every day we stray further from God's light. our personal favorite review.
So, speaking of staring further from God's light, have you guys watched Beastars yet?
No. And the only thing I've heard about it has very much pointed me away from it.
Wait. What's the series?
Beastars. Beastars. So, Beastars. It's on Netflix. It's an anime. It's basically Zootopia turned up to realism of 11, kind of. More or less. It's
more animal or more anthropomorphic?
More animal.
Okay.
It definitely, like, looks like I don't even know what to say. There's an alluring, like, bunny as the cover of Beastars Volume 3.
Yep. So Beastars is about a bunch of high school students. So the alluring bunny you're talking about is a high school student, by the way. Just going to throw that out there. It's a show about high school students just getting by before having to graduate and go through their adult life. There was a killing during the first episode, painting, of course, carnivores in a bad light, but it's like taboo for carnivores to actually eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone knows that a carnivore needs to eat meat, but their diet basically is like a bunch of soy type stuff while they're in high school. But during college, you can go to the black market to actually get meat. And, you know, meat is animal and everyone's an animal, so you're eating people.
Yeah, it's essentially cannibalism, right? Or vampirism, if you want to view it in like a slightly less...
predator-prey sense.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though. Like, do you think this came to be the manga before Zootopia? Is it Zootopia? Is that the...
3D? Zootopia is the Disney version of this show.
Okay.
Yes.
It came out before, though?
I don't know if the manga came out before Zootopia or not. But I definitely found it... found it interesting. I was like, oh, I'm liking it so far from what I've seen. It's a weird good twist on it. And I also watched Domestic Girlfriend over the last week.
Dude, you
and I'll be honest with you, I downloaded the Crunchyroll manga app just so I could read the manga too, because I want to see what happens, because it's good. It's trash, but it's good.
Okay, as long as you can recognize it's trash. Like,
oh, no, 100%.
It's okay to like really, really cheesy, trashy animes, stories, movies, whatever. I think as long as you recognize. Like, I like Hot Tub Time Machine.
Mm-hmm. That's also trash.
It is.
But it's also good. Yeah.
Damn, is it a good movie?
I know, Al-Kate. I should be ashamed for saying Crunchyroll, but...
What's wrong with Crunchyroll now?
I don't know. Probably something. It's 2020. Why are we not angry at all big corporations? Is the way I think.
Good point.
At least.
So, Domestic Girlfriend, how far have you gotten in the manga?
I haven't gotten anywhere in the manga. I got through the anime, downloaded the books... downloaded like the next chapter of books, and then saw Beastars and was like, okay, this is something new.
So I don't know if it's the same mangaka or artist, but I started reading some random manga. I dropped it at some point. That looks like it's from the same artist as Domestic Girlfriend, about two people that have fetishes that line up perfectly with the other person. Like the male character loves hair, like long hair, and the female character, who has very long hair, loves masculine, manly backs, which she apparently has like a very nice back and shoulder combination. And what ensues is like a pretty ridiculous rom-com, I think, between the two. Like, they somehow start living together really early on. It's kind of a sweet little manga if you want something a little more lighthearted and about weird fetishes like that. It's not even like a weird fetish. They're unusual. It's like an unusual take on that, right? But sorry to interrupt. I just figured I would throw that in while we're on the topic.
Mm. No, I like it. That was pretty much all I had to say about like media consumption. For the most part.
I mean, I guess I could chime in too and say that like it's funny because I feel as if outside of like trying to be a little more germophobic than normal when it comes to being out in public and all that. I don't think my life has really changed all that much since Nebraska has started to feel the effects of the coronavirus scare. Like, it's like, all right, stay indoors, avoid human contact. Okay, I've done that. Wait, so all I have to do is continue... I guess the only thing I'm doing differently now is when I'm going out in public, whenever the next time will be for that, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, I'm going to wear a mask. And that's about it.
I'm happy for you. Me and Lizzie are going to do the ultimate thing. And we realize that going to the supermarkets is going to be super, super like difficult and busy. We're going to an Asian supermarket because I need some things.
An Asian supermarket?
Yeah. We figured they're going to be super empty.
So my girlfriend's parents went to... Hy-Vee and another place today. And they said that the stores were basically dead at this point. Everything is mostly in stock except the toilet paper. But
thanks, Tito Sama, for the follow.
Oh,
sorry.
I am thinking that there is a likelihood that now that people have all but prepped up at this point, that they can basically just, you know, you can probably go there without too much issue, unless like there's some other huge thing that comes up about martial law or something.
Mm-hmm. That happens. What's H-E-B?
So for podcast listeners, Alcade SC writes down, my uncle works at H-E-B and they had to call him back from vacation. He also says scare in quotation marks. I don't want to like downplay it or anything like that. But I would say almost even like hysteria in the case of our community, like blind hysteria in some cases, because we have people that are like not realizing what's actually essential to stock up on.
Mm-hmm.
And don't downplay it because there's a chance I might have it. Yeah, exactly. I'm not trying to downplay it at all. Like I am taking this seriously, but it's crazy how uneducated like people in our community are and people in America are as a whole. Like, and I'm also a person that may, I guess all three of us could be susceptible to corona more than the average person because all three of us have asthma.
That's right, asthma crew.
Yeah, in asthma the house, gang. Yo!
Gang, gang.
You get
gang,
that gang. Wheezing going. Alcade, I hope you don't have it, dude. And if you do, I hope you recover fast from it. And I hope you... I just hope you're fine. I hope anyone listening to this can stay safe and stay healthy. And yeah, should the force come, recover quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you go out, I mean, you got to take those extra measures. Obviously, if you go to the store, do anything there or the Asian supermarket, like that's actually one place I've noticed the Asian supermarket on 76th and Dodge practically. Everyone in there for the last 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks or so have been using. And now I know this isn't like this is not like the end all perfect way to keep yourself healthy, but all of the cashiers have been using nitrile gloves for more than 2 weeks at this point. Like I applaud them from actually, you know, very trying smart, to be proactive on it. Granted,
I just needed some Worcestershire sauce, some oyster sauce, and some rice seasoning.
Oh, you're gonna have to go to an Asian store for that oyster sauce.
Yeah, you're not gonna find it anywhere else.
You go into the one on 76th and Dodge.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
It's like the only one.
There's a Japanese one on 108 and Q around there.
There's another one that's at like 90th and Blondo. I used to live by there.
Really?
It's small. It's pretty small. It's also next to a Caribbean market as well. So if you like your niche grocers, that's a good little strip to hit, honestly.
Maybe. Not today though.
Or maybe it's 72nd and Blondo. I'm sorry. That's why I'm off. It's 72nd and Blondo, I believe.
Yeah, it's like Salween or something is there too.
Yeah, no, that's right. Salween is near there. And there's also a Caribbean like jerk chicken place in the same complex. Or there used to be. That family's super cool. They make good Caribbean food if you're up for that.
Well, right now I'm not up for eating out at all, Scott. But thank you for the suggestion. anyways, though, what I was alluding to earlier is that, like, honestly, my lifestyle hasn't really had to change much in light of these events. I think, like, the only thing that really becomes an issue for concern, and maybe this is me taking it too far, but, like, I'm starting to think to myself, you know what? Instead of getting that physical copy of Animal Crossing, I could just download the digital version.
I was going to say, why would you not download the digital version anyway?
I like,
what are you doing?
I like
sharing
boxes.
It?
Boxes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can get you a box of not Animal Crossing, but just like a box. It's fine.
Here's a cardboard box I picked up dumpster diving from the back of this supermarket that says infected on it. I'm also thinking I might have to do that with Persona 5 as well. But then I did. So, okay.
You want that steel case? Didn't you, you really
I'm
really, want
I was going to say,
case.
Didn't you pre-order the steel case?
No, I didn't because I forgot about pre-ordering Persona 5. The steel case is still around, but the Phantom Thieves edition, which has like the mask, which is like the last thing I really care about.
Which is what you want? You want?
I don't
the
care
mask.
About the mask. I'm
You're
not going to
wear
up
the
as
mask
Joker
around.
Anytime soon. No, but it occurred to me He's that like I Joker. Wanted to do the pre-order for games from GameStop. Despite the fact that I don't really like GameStop that much, but because they
but
do the 9 o'clock release.
Yeah. But you also do enjoy that GameStop has added Reggie to their board, to their
that's,
C-suite.
That's good.
So
yeah,
that makes me want to buy their stock.
Wait, Reggie's at GameStop?
Reggie yeah. Fils-Aimé has joined GameStop. Yeah.
Hold on, guys. Let me open up, Robinhood real quick.
Yeah, Reggie joined GameStop under their...
he's on their board of directors.
Yeah. I don't think Reggie can save GameStop.
I don't think so
I don't
either,
know.
But
I don't
I'm
know.
Hoping
Reggie's got power.
Him.
All right. Quick aside. If you could put Reggie in as president of the United States, would we all do that?
Oh, easily. Yeah.
Yeah, why not? No. No, maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, you're asking this at a critical time in which if you literally said almost any name, I'd say they can't do that much harm.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, if we could get past the whole like fact
the
that
whole
he's,
fact that he's totally ineligible for the position.
Exactly. Just
but
get past that.
You could say the same about our current president.
Anyways, though, I really want to do the GameStop thing because then you can get the game at 9 o'clock the day before because GameStop is bad.
Is it 9 p.m. that it releases at?
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, they start giving the games away like
essentially
the day before it. It's great.
3 hours early.
In fact, like that's the plan for Final Fantasy VII Remake, assuming
it comes out.
Well, no, it's going to come out. The demo's out. I believe someone's going to talk about the demo today, and maybe I'll talk about it too because I played it.
I think both of us will, right?
But the plan,
all three of us will.
Ah. Oh, really? Huh.
Do we really want to talk about anything outside of Final Fantasy VII demo?
I can play about. I can talk about two more things.
Okay.
I can talk about one more thing, and it's going to be bad.
Anyways, I'm getting off topic. The point is that I really wish.
That's why I'm trying to steer you back on topic.
I really wish, though, that like I could just have the game early because I'm really excited to play Persona 5 again. I never got around to doing my second playthrough where you have the max stats. So to be completely honest, I'm going to see if there's a way I can just go and get a save with Joker maxed out on those 5 stats, but everything still set to level 1 because I don't want to fucking spend all that time raising up my knowledge and my courage and my charisma.
Speed run your first playthrough and then have second playthrough.
No, that would suck.
Why would it suck?
It would expose me to everything that's new about the game.
Oh, okay, that's fair. And then you'd also be shit at taking advantage of any of that because you're like speeding through it. That makes more sense.
I don't know. I'm at an impasse now. Like it would have been so much easier to do this in like the old days, right? If we still had a game genie that you could smack into your PlayStation 4 and like brute force those stats to be max or near max and not have to worry about them. Because I don't know if I told you guys, but I was one fucking social link away from maxing out everything in Persona 5 on my first playthrough without a guide either.
That's impressive.
And yes,
you're so good.
It's easier in this game than it was 3 and 4, in my opinion. There's like a lot more free time, and there are certain things that help you max everything out. Oh, okay, that fucking joke is ridiculous. Okay. While I'm on this topic, real quick. I am going through Persona 3 Portable right now, and what I'm going to do after I finish that, I've been calculating all of the days that they take away from you, whether you're in a coma or whether there's a story mode, et cetera, et cetera. I have a strong feeling that Persona 3 has the least amount of free time out of any of those games, because holy shit, you lose a lot of time sleeping in that game.
Yeah.
You just don't have a cat telling you to sleep, which is what I think most people get pissed off about Persona 5. But like,
what do you mean I gotta go to sleep? Fuck you.
Having the knowledge of it beforehand, like four, you also lose quite a bit. Golden gives you a shit ton of extra time, though, mind you.
I think that's maybe the premise with all of those essentially remaster/remake.
Redux.
Yeah, Redux is probably the most appropriate. Yeah. But that's one of those things. Is the Redux is also rewarding. It's first off drawing people in who haven't played before. And then it's also like rewarding people who otherwise would be like, I don't know if I need to spend another full price on a game that I've already played. Though it's fair to say the reworks that they've reported to do for like Persona 5 Royal, I think almost makes it seem as though it's a completely new game.
I mean, quite honestly, they might.
It strikes me as though this one's worth it. Yeah.
They might actually finish the game this time.
No. I didn't feel that bad about the completion of it, though. But
there was something about it that, like, I felt like the ending went by way too fast when I played Persona 5. Mm. Anyways, though, video games. Since we just were talking about video games, I'll really quickly get through a couple games I've been playing. The first of which I think I can suggest to you wholeheartedly, Scott, and that is Nioh. Nioh. One.
This because Nioh 2 isn't out yet.
It's not the most topical thing and trending on Twitch with over 100,000 views right now. But I digress. I thought in my stupidity that obviously Nioh 2 is going to be a continuation of Nioh 1. So why could I, like, how could I start with Nioh 2 when I should be playing the first one? And it's a perfectly fine game. I've seen good reviews on it and so forth. The funny thing is that Serial Killer, one of our chatters here right now, actually brought up after I bought Nioh 1 for PC that Nioh 2 is apparently a prequel to Nioh 1. Well, I guess I don't need to know the story of it. Anyways, though, Nioh is freaking great. I'm going to note that this is essentially supposed to be like a Souls-esque samurai game.
Isn't that called Sekiro?
But what makes it very different from Sekiro is that instead of just having your one weapon and your one style of attack, along with like the different variations and skills that you learn throughout the course of the game using levels to do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Levels. This game allows you to use one of, I think, six or seven different weapon types. I could be wrong there. And then you have three stances per weapon type. Plus, you have special moves on top of those stances or weapons in general.
So, does this compare more to a Bayonetta, Devil May Cry, Ninja Gaiden sort of beat 'em up?
I'm not an expert on this genre of games, or Nioh for that matter. But I'm definitely not a character action expert game. But it feels like you just took character action or action and actually, because apparently like From Software games or Soulsborne games aren't necessarily just action, but you like kind of push the two together. It feels really, really cool. And as Serial Killer notes, it is by the makers of Ninja Gaiden, Team Ninja, not to be mistaken with Ninja Theory Cookie.
I know, I do it all the time.
What is it?
Dead or Alive.
Senua's Sacrifice.
Senua's Sacrifice. Ninja Theory. Dead or Alive Ninja Theory. Is the makers of... I'm going to go this way.
Hellblade.
Now.
That's what it is. Hellblade.
So I started that.
As part of their like repertoire, their resume, the game is also faster too. Mm-hmm. And like the nice benefit of that is it feels really rewarding being able to combo people with these quick attacks. But at the same time, you also have to remember that basically even the basic peon that's right at your bonfire shrine can basically one hit you if you're not paying attention to their combos.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, is it like one hit you as in like stun lock and then just tear you apart?
More or less get you into a combo, get you into a grapple. The way I found it was that in Sekiro, like, what I love about Sekiro are the bosses, right? Like, every boss in that game, save for one or two, I just get, like, this amazing thrill and exhilaration. Like, I just...
Name those two bosses that you hate right now.
So, I don't necessarily get the same amount of joy
this doesn't
from
have to...
the sculptors, the sculptor, and I'm struggling to think. I feel like there's a second. Oh, right. The freaking headless. They're not even bosses, I don't think.
They're not bosses. No, okay. I understand the headless. I would disagree with the sculptor, but we can move on.
So, in general, like, I get this amazing feeling playing those enemies in Sekiro. Like, bar none, like, pretty peak thrill, excitement, etc. And in terms of sheer enjoyment of games, like, it borders some of my favorite games just for moments, right? This game kind of feels like you can get that encounter out of a bunch of random enemies in the middle of like your first few levels. Now, granted,
this is enticing.
I might just be shit at the game. I'm probably shit at the game. But what one of our viewers here told me before is that like the game's interesting in that like it's actually really hard at the start, and as you learn the system and get your character stronger, as you go further into it, it gets a little easier and easier to manage. But, and I don't know if this was also Serial Killer telling me that, there are enemies at the start of the game that you find to be very troublesome that you'll eventually have to kill three or four of in a row to progress later on in the game. But it can still kick your ass immediately if you're not, you know, giving, like, putting enough caution into the encounter. But overall, like, I only have positive things to say about this game.
Nice.
And it's available on a variety of platforms. Are you playing it on your PlayStation or Steam?
PC Master Race, baby.
Okay.
What?
No. I don't want to actually say that. I have a preference there. But it does run really well on PC from what I've seen.
Nice.
Wait, so you're not playing it on PC?
No, I am playing it on PC.
Okay.
But
you just didn't want to say PC Master Race.
Yeah, I like most of the games I play on PlayStation 4 feel perfectly fine.
Right.
But this runs really well on PC.
Well, I think I'm going to go ahead and put that on my wish list then. It's like, that's a pretty big endorsement, Neil. If I can get the thrill of the Genichiro fight in another game, I will buy it.
There is one thing in that the game is currently full price, and I bought it at full price because I'm
silly.
Impatient.
Yeah.
It was on sale for like 70% before Neo 2's release, so you should wait a while to pick it up.
I am. I'm going to add it to my wish list. Yeah, I remember being really interested in this and then being distracted by something else and forgetting about it until I had already played Sekiro. And then I was like, oh, that itch is scratched. I've played Sekiro now, so it's all good. But I'll give it a shot if you're having this much fun with it.
I'm having this much fun dying in it.
Yeah, if you're having a good time getting stomped, like that's a great indicator for me. Games that you have fun or like, I don't know, like even get a little bit of enjoyment or humor out of losing at are I think very good games in my opinion. Like when you get dunked on, you go, "Oh, you got me." That's a really really tough experience to actually get, you know? Because most of the time when you're losing, people are frustrated and upset. And I'm like, oh, fuck this. Or just, I have no emotional reaction. But when my reaction is just like, good play there. Like, nice job, game. You got me. I can tell it's only coming when I'm having a very good time with it.
It's like, okay, just said Neo's $20.
Oh, this is a perfect example, too.
Wait, what? What?
$20 where?
Did I buy it
at
$60 yesterday,
Steam.
And then it just went on sale today?
I don't see it for a sale price on Steam for $20. I see $49.99 on Steam right now.
On Amazon, it's $16.50.
Oh shit! Well, hey,
it's PS4 though. PS4.
Yeah, but
hey, man, you can't beat $16.50.
Well, you're playing it on computer. I'm sure it's fine on the PlayStation. My concern is, too, this is probably better suited for the PlayStation Pro, and I'm still trying to somehow grind by on my regular PlayStation 4.
I haven't had any problems with games on my PlayStation 4 vanilla yet.
Okay, that's good to hear. But Star Wars, whatever, the Redhead Saga, I think it's Jedi Fallen Order, or just Star Wars Fallen Order. That was grinding my poor PlayStation 4 into dust, and it wasn't even worth the experience.
Is it possible though that it's not because you're on a PlayStation 4, and instead because they don't know how to optimize their games for PlayStation 4?
Entirely possible. I mean, it's the same way that, like, but I'd say the one thing I need to posit, which I brought up when I talked about Fallen Order 2, is like, the Somnium Files was also a fucking brick on the Switch. Like, it was bad on the Switch as far as the processing, but it was still a fun game. And so I said, these terrible loading screens and this like awful grind and delay is fine, but Fallen Order was one of those where I was like, yes, this is only making the experience more painful.
I forgot that I had Eye of the Somnium Files. I need to start playing that.
Fuck.
You absolutely do.
I got distracted by Ori and the Willow of the Wisp.
Dude, does Ori and the Willow of the Wisp have cute pink-haired waifus in it? I wouldn't even call her a waifu, actually.
I would backpedal from that one.
It's got a cute white-haired waifu.
I will stop Ori and the Will of the Wisp just to play Eye the Somnium Files. I'm also going to stop playing Ori and the Will of the Wisp because I don't feel like playing it anymore.
Hmm.
That's kind of my my controversial thing, as everyone has been like freaking out about this game. I don't get it. It's like Hollow Knight, but not with bugs. So Scott, you might like it.
I mean, I see the appeal right there. Hollow Knight was not drawing me in with just the bugs. I will say that I have a much more positive view for bugs thanks to Hollow Knight, but that wasn't the thing that really got me in.
Oh no, this is like a pretty colorful version of Hollow Knight. And you're a spirit thing going through a forest looking for your owl friend.
Okay.
It's cute.
Is it fair to say, like, Hollow Knight is drab in some areas, but it also could be described in other locations as very, like, vibrant and colorful as well.
It's like...
It just sticks to general color palettes. Like, even when you're in a really vibrant place, it's still, like, a shadowy, dark green with, you know, other green and blue lights, like a cool color palette in one area.
Whereas Hollow Knight is artistically pretty, this one's like
particle effect pretty.
Yeah, particle effect pretty. It's lighting pretty.
I like that. I like that too.
I thought you were going to say, whereas Hollow Knight is pretty, this game is actually pretty.
Whereas Hollow Knight is a snack. Ori and the Will of the Wisp is a whole damn buffet.
But you said that you're tired of playing it. Like, what's going on there?
It's Hollow Knight, basically. I'm not a huge fan of Metroidvanias. I don't know where I'm going. The story was like, it had a very direct path through all the cutscenes, and then it's like, all right, you're in the world now. Get some traversal things. Chop, chop.
You're like, I want my game to be more linear, please.
Yes. Yes.
Stop
please.
Giving me agency. I'm stressed out with it.
I don't know which way to go. I went left because I was like, you know what? Ha, they want me to go right. I'm going to go left. And I went left for a little while and I was like, okay, I can't go left anymore. So I went right for a little while and I like can't go right anymore. I go down for a little while. Now I got to go up and I just don't know where I need to be. It's a big map. It's cool. But it's not for me. Metroidvanias are just not for me, and I know this. I know this so much that I ended up buying and downloading Call of Duty on my PC.
Mm. Because, the newest Call of Duty, I assume, correct?
Yes, yes. Because of the new Warzone thing, but I also wanted to just play Call of Duty because I've missed it so much. I haven't played yet, but I bought it and downloaded it.
And then yeah, you're just getting prepped. You just got to assemble the snacks and energy drinks.
Exactly. And then Lizzie was like, you know what we're doing? We need to make Overnop happy. We're going to play 4 hours of Sea of Thieves because they also had a new content update.
Nice.
My gosh, that was a lot of fun. Too bad Overnop's not here to enjoy the Sea of Thieves.
You can still talk about it.
But no, they had a new... They do things called Tall Tales in Sea of Thieves. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the... you can do the overarching, you're just a pirate out in the open doing whatever you want, but you can also do these Tall Tales. So they're like story-based missions. And they're usually along the lines of read a book or find a treasure map, go to the island where the treasure map is, dig up the island, do like a puzzle thing or something like that, and then turn everything in. This newest one, they had you find the island, and then they had you light a torch to be able to find the entrance to this underwater cave that once you swam down in and through the underwater cave, you then got to choose between one of three paths, and we decided to split up like dum-dums. And then it had just like a bunch of booby traps, a bunch of just crazy, crazy things. It was a good time. If you have never played Sea of Thieves and have Xbox Game Pass, you should definitely check it out. Right now is a good time to do it since there's more content, more story content, so that way not every pirate that you see is going to try and kill you and murder you immediately.
Mm-hmm.
They'll think about it a little bit. They may be saying, oh, I guess we're doing the story quest right now. We'll leave that guy alone. But in about a week from now, they'll be bored of it, and it'll just be back to every pirate for themselves. Sea of Thieves, 10 out of 10. We'll play again. Has become my wife's favorite game.
Continued to play again and again. That's good.
Yeah. It to the point of Lizzie was like, oh, so we're playing Sea of Thieves tonight? It's like, we just played from 9 o'clock to 2 a.m. last night. I mean, we can see if everyone's on. And everyone's like, nah, we're not playing tonight. I was like, thank God. So then I made that new fancy ramen logo intro thing that was at the beginning of the podcast.
Oh, I missed it entirely.
I know. We all did.
I think I was preparing a document or something.
It's all good. But yeah. Besides that, also downloaded the Final Fantasy VII demo. Booted that up. What'd you
so
guys
did
think?
I believe so did Neil. Now, you guys have both played Final Fantasy VII before, to some degree.
I was going to say, you're going to have to say played, beat, how do you mean? Yes.
I said yes. Played. Yeah, I kept it as broad as possible so we could include everyone's play habits in there. Which I realize I'm becoming more and more like Cookie the longer we do this podcast, where I don't necessarily get like 40 to 50% into a game and drop it, but I have found that there are games that I've gotten 80 to 90% in and then dropped. And I actually think I may respect Cookie's approach better because he's at least getting out before there's like a huge sunk cost. But Final Fantasy VII, never played it before. The music is familiar because I've played Super Smash Bros. Or Smash 5, I guess. What is it even called anymore? I don't know. Smash for the Switch.
Smash Ultimate.
Smash Ultimate. Wow. I am ashamed that I couldn't come up with that off the top of my head better. Because I would say it's probably one of my favorite Switch games. But that's the only thing I know about this game. And that there's a guy named Cloud. And that there's someone named Sephiroth. That there is some sort of like techno setting to it, and that's it. So I came into this demo as blind as someone could possibly be in 2020, and somehow like have been able to preserve myself from the Final Fantasy like narrative and canon and whatever else exists. Like, I'm pretty much spoiler free.
Okay, so let's not say spoilers.
Yeah. because Neil has pitched this as something I may like to play. And after playing the demo, I'm thinking, well, if this has enough like content, which it seems like it's going to have, the game itself has a lot, but if they're really splitting it into three, I don't know how comfortable I feel. I guess spending, what would that collective total be? $180 on a single Final Fantasy story or experience cumulatively. I will at least probably play the first
disc.
The first disc, yeah. The first game released. Because this has been fun so far. The music is nostalgic for nostalgia. I have nothing to actually tie it to. And the classic battle mode is interesting. And I like it because I don't like button mashing. I think it's silly. So if I can just watch Cloud fight and let these like characters do a bunch of the like auto positioning and strategy for me, and I can just choose like what technical actions to take, this cinematic playstyle is actually pretty interesting and fairly satisfying, because I think it also forces me, because I know that it's almost like auto battling in Persona, where I know my character is going to do things that I don't always appreciate or don't think is like the optimal choice. It's going to force me to use items more like more frequently. It's going to force me to like really exploit situations tactically with what I'm given, versus trying to do something that I do in a lot of other games, which is like the perfect approach, in which I make no mistakes at all, and therefore I never need to use items. And I can go up against challenges that are like out of potentially my level or my range. And I think by following this classic system where you don't have to do much for like attacking or defending or even moving around, it's going to force me into a playstyle that I'm not as comfortable with. And I've so far found that interesting.
I didn't even try it. Maybe I'll do that real quick.
You should
after
try
stream.
It. I think it's kind of fun. It's definitely different because it's literally forcing you to be like, hands off. Don't actually try and micromanage anything, which is a very weird experience. Like playing a game and having your character be like, oh, they're just going to walk in and like face tank this range damage. Okay. But they don't do that bad of a job. It just looks like it's going to be a bad choice.
So I'm going to quickly say that, as it's already been alluded to in chat, like a lot of people have, I don't know if this is true per se, but like I certainly get the feeling that it could be that a lot of people haven't even played Final Fantasy VII past the first disc. I'm going to say like some really unpopular things about Final Fantasy VII real quick, because I'm like a boomer.
Red is not your favorite doggo?
Red's fine. Red.
Okay.
There's some weird stuff pertaining to Red in the original game that that I really wonder what they're gonna do involving bestiality, implied possible bestiality, not actually you know what, people that know about it will know about it. So I was not really excited for the Final Fantasy VII remake at all when it was first coming out. Oh, that zoom, yo. But what got me was that when they started showing off more and more footage of the Midgar area, I might have like said this at some point in time, so I'll keep it really brief. It reminded me how much fun I had in Final Fantasy VII through the first, third, or fourth of the game. Mm-hmm. And like my enjoyment, and I think a lot of it has to do with the story, but my enjoyment for the game, for Final Fantasy VII specifically, it wasn't bad, but like it definitely went downhill from there. Like by the end of the game, I wasn't as excited and thrilled about it as I was from the start of the game through the Midgar area, which is more than likely what this first part of the game is going to include, right?
Mm-hmm. So I just want to be able to get to my Chocobo racing, and then
that's going to be Gold Saucer's what, going to be like maybe the second part? It's the second part, right? Like, it's the second disc in the game.
Either second or beginning of, yeah. Either the second part or beginning of third, depending on how they decide to swap these, push these episodes out.
Sure. But, so for like an aesthetic outlook of this game, from a musical outlook, from everything other than the combat and gameplay, it feels perfectly fine. And when it comes to the gameplay, I'm trying to keep like a really open mind about it, and it seems fine. Like, honestly, after playing Final Fantasy 15, I've more or less realized that we're never going to have classic Final Fantasy 1 through 10 gameplay ever again. After Final Fantasy 15, I kind of resigned myself to understand and know that that era is over and we're never getting it again.
I'm willing to give that a try
because maybe that'll do it, right?
It's sort of like it's taking turn-based combat and making it more active. There's never any lull in the activity that's going on, but because you can only make these, it's like burst or what do they call it? It's the like meter that allows you to do actions.
The ACB meter?
ACB, yeah. I don't know what that means exactly, but like I know that's right. So what I'm trying
active
to say is...
time battle, ATB?
Maybe, yeah. But there is a meter that essentially has to fill to certain points, like certain marks, before you're able to do different types of like spells or like combo moves. Okay, ATB. And so you're still having to wait like a set amount of time, but your characters are doing all of the mundane tasks of like blocking and attacking and trading like minor damage in these windows, as well as your enemies are doing all of their actions, which are also obviously on some sort of like cooldown timer similar to your ATB option. So the way that it ends up working out is it's very similar to turn-based combat, but people aren't just standing there waiting to lunge at one another with spells or attacks. It's all happening actively, which I think is really cool. I like it a lot, and I think it is an improvement to the turn-based system. And I think it takes some inspiration from what some indie games have tried to do over the years. I think specifically to like Child of Light, how they had like sort of a speed of action system as well. They still did it with a 2D kind of spaced out positioning based grid, and where actions took different amounts of time to deploy, and you could like hinder or interfere with that. But in this game, the only thing that's really different or that's like substantially changed is that you're not on like a grid anymore. You're moving in a 3D space, and you're also kind of letting the computer do a lot of that decision making for you until you're ready to micromanage or take control.
Nice. I'll definitely have to check that out.
Would you say though that like, Did you try any other system other than the classic system?
No, because I only had a certain amount of time to dedicate to it, and I thought this is going to be probably the most efficient way to play.
What I would honestly say is I'm curious about how the ATB meter builds up, because when you're playing in whatever the regular difficulty was, which is what I played the demo on, it seemed like your ATB meter charged only really that consistently well when you're controlling that character. It's like you could see Barret or Cloud spamming attacks, but the meter wasn't filling as well compared to when you were playing as that character.
It's arguable that Barret's meter is a hard one to compare anyway, because if you're playing Barret, I've found the optimal strategy is to overcharge repeatedly over and over, and then you can just spam all of his abilities. Like, that overcharge is really fast. You just have to kind of make sure that Cloud's soaking all the damage, which is fine.
All right. I won't ask any other questions about the classic system because I just need to play it.
Yeah. Just try it out. It's fun. The only issue I had was with like targeting individual things, like moving the target from what Cloud or Barret is auto attacking is still a little clunky. But I'm sure as I play more, I'll probably get better at it, because it didn't seem like there was anything necessarily wrong with it. Like, it wasn't ever doing anything I didn't want it to. It's just I didn't know how to transition the focus to a different target effectively. I also didn't know how to identify different targets, which I don't think honestly actually changes all that much in the active battle style, except for the fact that you're going to obviously be moving your character to attack a certain spot. Like, you're taking the agency to select that. But you can also do that in the classic mode. That's maybe the other argument. Is in classic mode, it's not actually taking anything away from you. It's like when you play... it's like when you ride a horse in The Witcher or Breath of the Wild, where it's just like, if you don't give any inputs to a certain degree... Oh, Red Dead Redemption does this too, with horses. Apparently, this is horse technology being put into other facets of a video game. But if you don't do anything, it just kind of like autopilots on the most likely action that you would take. So it essentially follows the trail of battle.
Gathered by joining the Phantom Thieves Network online. Figuring out what horses do in every other game instance.
Mm-hmm.
No, I actually wonder if that's something that people will start implementing, like an active way that the game corrects itself based upon what the actions of other people are doing. Anyways, mm-hmm. That's completely off topic. I'm sorry, but the horse thing kind of reminded me of that. What else do I have to say about it? I feel like the game is hopefully going to implement a... I don't know what you would call it. Like, not rock, paper, scissors, but it really felt like there were certain enemies that... And I don't know if you got this from the classical battle system or not, because it was out of the context of the ATB controls. But mm-hmm. there were just enemies that you straight up destroyed if you just held up your guard and countered. Like, if you know you're fighting a melee enemy, like, there's no point to even attack. Just hold up the guard, let them come to you and get destroyed when you're in Punisher mode, I think is... Is it Punisher mode where the combos or the counters are really ridiculous? Maybe
not. I think so. But you have the option to switch between the, like, act or the... whatever the default mode is and the Punisher mode. Mm-hmm. And I didn't actually get the tutorial on the Punisher mode until a little later. And then at that point in time, I wasn't using it in... I wasn't using it that much in combat. And there was only like a couple combat encounters left to try it out in. So if I had more time to experiment, I would have tried it more.
The other mode is called Operator mode. I remember reading that and thinking to myself, like, Operator, what?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like an operator within like an operation sense? An agent mode, if you will? But I don't know. I felt pretty positive about it, although I also want to note that not only do I not hold Final Fantasy VII at like the highest pinnacle of Final Fantasy games, I also... Mm-hmm. knew fully well, thanks to Final Fantasy 13, or not 13, yeah.
15.
Well, 10 16. Is the one with Tidus. Tidus, our favorite boy, our best boy, Tidus. 11 is the online game. 12. So 12 had that like battle system that was kind of like a...
People played 12?
Sorry?
People played 12? That was
the 12
age
was actually,
I thought 12 was popular.
I don't know if it's popular.
Do they have lightning? I know so little about Final
Fantasy.
Lightning's
11. No. Which one is lightning again?
13.
13. Okay. 13 was the good one.
14's online. But 12's battle system is like extremely different from 10 and anything before that. I mean, even 10 in some ways is like quite a departure. But 12 goes way over. The easiest way to describe it is kind of like a Western RPG like Dragon Age or Neverwinter Nights, or, you know, like isometric top-down battle system, but in real time, kind of real time, and almost even MMO-ish, where like you have your auto attacks, if you want to call it that, that your characters will do when you kind of commit moves when they have enough action points or something. I don't fucking remember that well, but it kind of reminded me of like, oh, this is like playing an MMO offline and having the ability to pause the game and direct each of these characters to do different things. So that's why it reminded me of like a Western RPG to some extent, which is why like Dragon Age comes to mind, but it's still very, very different. But after 12, I didn't play 13, and I probably should. And then 15, like, I knew that Final Fantasy VII was not going to be a, you know, side scroll, a side view battle system where you wait for the bar to fill up and then you get them to attack and then they run back in line and stand there, like, slightly nodding up and down.
Oh, that'd be great. Do that again?
It would be awesome. Like, if they decided to make a game like that. But it's never happening. Like, I would love to see actually how many unique people play Dragon Quest XI, which is, you know, as traditional as you can get to playing, like, the authentic Japanese RPG turn-based system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's a battle system that has aged so slowly. Like, it wasn't until Dragon Quest VII or VI before they even started showing the characters on the screen. Everything was front view, so you just saw your stats at the bottom of the screen. No artwork for your characters or protagonist. And you saw the enemies facing towards the camera, if you will. And that was it. Like,
weird.
I think 7 was the first one where you actually saw the sprites on the game. Wait, did I call it Dragon Quest or? Yeah, okay.
You did say Dragon Quest.
I thought I might have said Dragon Warrior by, like, some weird accident when Alcade brought up Dragon Quest. But yeah, I knew that the game was not going to be, like, faithful to the original in that regard. And just like how finally, you know, in the spirit of Resident Evil 2 Remake, which I think we could all agree was a really fun game, despite it not having fixed camera angles and having a completely different movement system. Basically, everything was like a natural progression from Resident Evil 4, 5, and 6. Maybe not 6 so much. I was able to keep a pretty open mind about it, and I thought it was fine. I'm actually looking forward to Final Fantasy VII more than I was before the demo, so I think it was pretty successful, at least for me in that regard.
And I haven't played it yet, but I downloaded it and I booted it up.
Wait, what?
Yeah, no, I haven't played it yet, but I did download it and boot it up.
You should try the classic system then.
I will try the classic system.
Oh, and then try the normal system and then tell us what's different about
this. You can technically do both in the classic system. You can do both in the classic system. So, like, play one fight with the classic system, and then in the second fight, like, just take control. And then, yeah, you can, like, alternate back and forth and see what you like better. That would be the most interesting way to find out.
If you take control, can you just, like, rest? Like, how long does it wait before you stop controlling? Or do you have to take control?
I think more than a second. It takes more than a second. So, like, I took control once, and then I was like, why am I taking control? And so I just stopped, and Cloud stood still for a second and just kept taking damage, and then he was like, oh, I need to guard! And so he started guarding and approaching the enemy. So it just kind of, like, it immediately fills in if you're not giving a button input, but it's not enough where, like, if you were to pause before you go to do something, that Cloud would just, you know,
start...
Yeah, take over. It's more like if you were to stand still and not touch anything for more than a second, it'll kick in, but it'll never kick in a way that seems obstructive with whatever you're trying to do. And especially if you're like, I like the idea too, you could play it actively, and then as soon as you go into your ATB options, like your selections, then, you know, I believe it will take over for you. So it's just a way for you to, like, navigate the menu without feeling like you need to be moving your character to avoid damage or something else. Like, it's just taking over for the mundane actions. Kind of in the same way, like, in Nier Automata, I always had, like, the auto fire option on for my, like, companion cube, my robot. Just because, like, I didn't want to hold down left trigger the whole time, even though I would be holding down left trigger the whole time if I were doing the manual controls on it.
Nice.
I don't know if there's anything I need to say in terms of games. Scott, is there anything you've played outside of Final Fantasy VII that you'd like to talk about?
I did mention that I have had some games that I've gotten 80 to 90% complete on and then just not finished. And one of those games is Prey. And I reinstalled and started playing Prey again. Since I played the game last, they've had a DLC drop, which I haven't bought or played yet, but I might be interested in. We'll see how happy I am with the conclusion of Prey. But I'm actually restarting the game from the beginning because they've introduced a like survival mechanic mode where you have item degradation and like suit integrity and just a little bit more like environmental difficulty outside of the combat. And I've found that to make the game a lot more satisfying. I think the way that I was playing previously, it felt like once I got to a certain point, I didn't have that much capability because I was also doing a very dumb thing of trying to stay like completely human during the game, not use any of the Typhon or alien abilities, which I think is a bad move for the first playthrough. It definitely felt like I was kind of like tying one arm behind my back or one hand behind my back. But also the resource management felt like really easy in the game. And now that I've used this survival option, it's really changed a lot of how I play because the first tier of difficulty you fight are the mimics. And then the second tier are phantoms, which are a little bit more like humanoid enemies. And mimics used to be a joke to try and fight. Like you could fight maybe a dozen of them and not be that concerned without these like survival modifications. But now getting swarmed by like even two or three mimics is enough to pose a challenge, and two phantoms in a room is terrifying. Like it takes a lot of like tactical gameplay and strategy to like take them down and not get overwhelmed and pulled apart. Like it's made the game a lot more challenging. It's made me feel a lot more like Prey in the titular game. And it's improved my experience a lot. So I've been playing that. I haven't gotten much past the like beginning areas, which is there's like a tutorial area, the main lobby of the ship, and then the first place it really points you to go is the like engineering labs, and so I went there, and that's all I've completed so far, but it's already really escalated in difficulty and it's felt a lot more immersive because of these survival elements. My suit's gotten damaged a lot. I've had to find much more creative ways to deal with hordes of enemies in rooms, and enemies getting the jump on me has made me feel like a lot more hunted in the game, which is really cool. It's completely changed the perception I had for being a hero or a protagonist in the game from the last time I played it to this time. So
is it kind of more horror-esque for that matter?
It's much more horror-esque in this way, yeah. And I feel like I'm being sabotaged by the aliens feel smarter. I don't know if they actually are, or like, I don't know if there is any actual update to the AI of the enemy in the games at all. I don't know. There have obviously been updates, but who knows? I didn't look at the patch notes as to whether they impacted that or not. But it feels like some of the defenses I've set up with like placing a turret in a certain spot or like releasing what are called operators, not operator mode, but releasing operators that will like help me patch up my suit or like refill my health if I am low on either of those things. Like the phantoms will possess those things and turn them into corrupted operators, which become enemies for me. And so it's like turned a boon or a resource that I've tried to manage into a threat for me. It's been really cool. Like every time I leave a room, I can't trust that it's in the same condition as when I left it because this ship is like repopulating with enemies and like conflicts and traps. And what's really been interesting in that capacity is that it's the first time I've played a game where in a long time since some Resident Evil games where I felt like when I've entered a room, if I have a chance to like lock or bar or block the door, I'm doing that instinctively because I don't want to be snuck up on by other enemies, which has happened to me. Like I've died in a couple of combat encounters because I got into a combat encounter with one enemy and then a couple more like burst through a door from an adjacent room. And so now, like, it's literally changing my behavior on how I play the game. And it's actually forcing me in some combat situations to run away because I don't think I can handle it or use resources that I wouldn't have used previously because I thought I could handle it without expending these, like, low, what is it? Like, low availability, or I'd say, like, high rarity items. It's really forcing me to be like, yeah, I gotta burn that med kit, or yes, I do have to use that grenade if I want to get through this. And I'm much lower on ammo and supplies too. It's great. It's a lot of fun. It's a good horror game, I think, in this capacity.
Sounds terrible having to, like, close doors behind you because you're so terrified of what may follow you.
It's a game in which your, like, minor enemies can transform into anything in the environment. And so it's like it builds so much paranoia at this point. It's really good.
Some people might have just watched me get, like, scared over a fucking visual novel earlier today. So
so it's not for you.
Probably not.
Well, Army. Neil, I understand. Like, a game that that trains your brain to be scared of your coffee cup because is it actually your coffee cup may be too much stress for you.
Oof. The mimics.
Why do you guys all carry your weapons inside this bar? Mimics. The barkeeper laughs.
Can't trust a thing, yeah.
The party laughs. But the table laughs.
So I'm curious. When it comes to the mimics and prey, let's say you're just inside of a room, a blank, empty room, just to make the conversation easy. And there is a bucket in the room and a chair. Whatever.
Most likely what will happen if there's a mimic in there, there's either two buckets and a chair, or there's just two buckets and one of them's the mimic. Like, the mimics also, what they do is they take inspiration from something around them in the environment. So if I'm in a room that doesn't have any chairs and there's an enemy and I turn my back and I turn around, I'm not going to see a chair. I'm going to see something else in the environment that's already there that it copies. And so one of the things that, like, is a hint sometimes is when there's a lot of things stacked together and one thing looks out of place or toppled over. But that's sometimes just a decoy by the developers or the mess of the room to, like, get you to look over there. And then maybe there's a mimic that's actually spawned in out of your view if you're looking at that, that can then move away from you or get the drop on you.
I want to play it at some point in time. I want to. Yeah.
It's a fun game. You could just play it on easy, and I think, like, you'd still get
a jump scare satisfaction out of it.
You get the jump scare satisfaction, but you wouldn't feel like it's really punishing.
I mean, excuse me, sorry. I don't think the mechanics or, like, the difficulty would be the thing. I think it's more
first person shooter.
I mean, that's part of it, but that's not to say I can't enjoy things like
Prey. Prey's a terrible first-person shooter. Like, that's the other thing. You get two weapons that are traditional shooting weapons. Otherwise, everything else is not a traditional weapon in any way. You have a silenced pistol and a shotgun, and both of those, like, have a fairly limited amount of ammo. And you don't really start getting satisfying damage out of them unless you get these perks or you invest in these neuromod upgrades that give you, like, sneak attack bonuses or security weapon upgrades. Otherwise, a lot of the stuff that you're using is, like, a taser, a glue gun, which the glue gun is a cool, cool item, and a fucking wrench. Like, that's your better combat loadout, is to honestly use the glue gun and then environmental hazards or the wrench to destroy enemies as opposed to shoot them with your guns. I mean, the guns work, obviously, but the ammo's limited and the effectiveness is totally dependent on how you kind of upgrade your character. Because it doesn't feel good to just, like, shoot normally. It doesn't feel bad, it doesn't feel clunky, but it feels like it's not the best way to deal with enemies that can, like, dodge and dash very easily.
Can't dodge and dash if you're glued to the floor.
Exactly. And then you don't have to waste ammo because you can hit them with a wrench.
Nice.
But that's all I have to say about Prey for now.
Anything else you've been playing?
No, that's it.
I talked about my games. You talked about your games.
Yeah, so I think that does it for this episode of Fancy Ramen Podcast. Chad, do you you have 10 seconds to ask us any questions that you may have. I hope someone's keeping count.
We're on 3, 2, 1. Oh, shucks.
Poor Alcade.
Next time.
I actually have a question for chat.
Next
week, I will be living.
I'm still going to be observing probably Sierra and I's own personal quarantine. So,
are there any?
I guess the question was: what are we doing next week? That's going to be interesting. I've got a new YouTube video that is scheduled to come out Monday at noon Central Standard Time. So I'm actually going to be posting videos every Monday at noon Central Standard Time. I will be doing some live streaming on Friday night.
You'll be playing some Eye of the Somnium Files.
Eye of the Somnium Files.
You could be streaming Eye of the Somnium Files, in fact. I mean,
can be.
That's up to you. I don't want to make you do anything specific.
I probably will. That'll actually force me to play it. Oh, nice. It'll be a lavalier mic review that you clearly don't see me using right now.
A lavalier mic review?
Yeah, review/unboxing.
Are you going to be like, this lavalier sucks?
I actually don't mind it. I would be using it right now.
Like, you're going to listen to that $50 microphone here that you have. Maybe less than that. How much is that handheld mic you have there? Maybe $25-$30?
Oh, man, this came free along with 4 other microphones. It was mainly for a PA system.
And you're going to listen to this audio and you're going to listen to, well, you're not going to listen to the podcast, but you're going to listen back to this audio. And then at some point during your review, you're going to listen to the lapel and you're going to listen back to both of them. And you're going to be like, wow, this lapel sounds like ass.
Well, it does, but like, ease of use versus this?
No.
Hear me out here. While doing the unboxing, I didn't want to use my small, tiny desk. So then I had to move the mic stand, the mic, everything like away. You know, it's a lot easier to move than everything. This. Just a nice wireless lav mic.
Oh, it's a wireless one too. Fuck. Okay. How much was
Super
that?
Super convenient. $60. Not even. It does have one glaring issue though, which you'll have to see the YouTube video to find out.
Oh, hey, there you go. Bam.
Shameless plugs.
Be sure to use our Amazon affiliate link down below to make sure that we get compensation for our hard work while you get the products you deserve. In terms of things to look forward to, though, were you planning on streaming anything in particular, Cookie?
I was going to probably get back into Call of Duty. I tried to stream Call of Duty last week on the Xbox, but I can't turn off the HDCP mode on it. So it completely blocks out the Elgato, and I don't like using
the switcher,
the Twitch app.
Why don't you use that one HDMI splitter that you have?
Would that do it? Would that override the HDCPT?
Shh. No one has
possibly, but so that's why I got it on PC. Plus, at this weight, I can use my beautiful graphics card and everything with it. I'll probably be streaming that, I'll be streaming. Oh, man, Sierra looks like death. And she said something bad. Sierra said a bad word.
She didn't say a bad word, no. I told her to look at our cute, cute dog. He's got his...
And then she was like, don't call me a dog.
No, that's not... It's not what I said at all.
Scott, the more we do our podcast on stream, the more it seems like your true colors of misogyny and patriarchy seem to really come through. So that's what happens in the unedited world of Fancy Ramen Podcast.
I invite you into my home and you treat me like this.
So
what's the cookie? What's the HDCP thing called? What's the actual letters?
HDCP, I think. It might not be in that order. But it's... Cookie, your stream can be found on this very channel right here. That's twitch.tv/CUKISKMILK Cookie Skimilk.
Right below, over that way. Over that way, you could see it.
Scott is going to be living and hopefully recovering from his illness. And I hope you don't have corona, dude. Best of health to you. Scott doesn't stream, but in spirit, you can watch Artie Strongman, friend of the pod. Every time I say friend of the pod, I just think of some like liberal podcast I listen to. Pod Save America. Friend of the pod, Artie Strongman. That's Artie_Strong_Man. And there's also Jay Frey All Day. No underscores in his case because he knows how to market things. And he's also a marketing professional for a living. Makes sense. And then, of course, you can go to Fancy Ramen / twitch.tv/FancyRamenTV where I'll be streaming Neo 1. Maybe Judgment, Dot Hack, Outbreak, that's part 3, and Now Your Turn to Die, the dating sim, the visual novel about trying not to die.
Your Turn to Die? That sounds interesting.
You can play it in your web browser.
Let me tell you what, you can go on to that Twitch link I just said and look at the VOD of me playing Your Turn to Die. But yeah, no, that's a really... I didn't talk about that game at all because I think I talked about it at one point before when I started playing the first... Yeah, I played the first part of that game and now I picked it back up, started back over just to catch myself up. That game's fun and it's free. Check it out if you like Danganronpa and 999 and so forth.
I guess I also might be streaming the old VR stuff.
Gonna finally stream that VR girlfriend game, right?
Hags, yeah. Alcade knows what I'm talking about.
What? You're like waiting for an emote with that shit-eating grin.
All right.
Hey, one of these days I'll have the courage to load up Summer Lesson.
You have it?
Yeah, I have it. We talked about this.
And you haven't played it?
No, I haven't.
Why?
It was originally going to be something I'd force Keith through.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Fair enough. Either way.
But now coronavirus. Isn't that one of the best VR games? I think it is. But, you know, I don't know if I'm man enough to play it by myself. I need someone to hold my hand through the process.
Mm-hmm. Gross?
What? What's gross about it? It's a tutoring simulator. It's a tutoring simulator. If you have malicious intent about tutoring students, then maybe, Cookie, you
shouldn't
teach.
Look in a mirror, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you should look at yourself. Hard look. But I intend to instruct this young high school girl to the best of my abilities and get her through college, okay? Get her into college.
In high school.
No, like, yeah, it's exams, I think. Exam season, right? Isn't that what, like, all of those rom-coms are about? Like, I have to get into college, but my girlfriend/boyfriend is going to a different college. Oh, no, we're not applying to the same one. How will we ever have a relationship without going to the same school together?
Nice. Well, you can't.
You can't. It's fucking over.
Logic, yeah.
You have to get married, awful. And then other events have to happen, and then you end up in a boat with your head off.
I feel as if he's projecting something.
Nice, he's getting boat. His like 8 streams that he does all mixed up at this point. Maybe. Well,
okay, we're gonna call it, and I'm gonna do this thing. So everyone, have a good night. Okay, please survive.
Yeah. Everybody stay safe, stay healthy.